Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Beauty for Ashes with your host, Prophet Kyle T. Miller.
He gives beauty for ashes, strength for fear, gladness for mourning, peace for
hello and welcome to Beauty for Ashes. I'm your host, Prophet Kyle Miller. The Bible says in Isaiah 61:3 that the Lord will give us beauty for ashes and oil of joy for mourning and a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Isn't it so good to know that no matter what trials, tribulations, situations we encounter, problems we have, God is always there, right there with us. Amen, 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 amen. Well, I've been away for a few weeks. I've been missing you. I hope you've been missing me. As you know, many of you help support me going to Africa. So I spent a week and a day in Ghana, Africa, and I fellowshipped with Prophet Charles Improm, who is actually the apostle and overseer of Fountain House Chapel, which is located in Accra, Ghana. And it was just a wonderful, 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 wonderful experience. You know, the Lord had prophesied to me almost 20 years ago. He said that, you know, one day that I would go on journeys for him and that I would minister the gospel in foreign lands. And I saw that prophetic word come to pass. I saw that prophetic word come to pass. And so it was extremely exciting. You know, I'll be sending out some video in the next day or so, you know, with some clips of me actually ministering and teaching the people there. But it was just so exciting to be able to teach the Word of God in Africa. You know, at the church where I was, the people's hearts were just so pure, and they were so hungry to receive and hear the Word of God. And so because of that, you know, the Lord moved mightily and did many, many, many awesome things. And so to those, again, those of you who helped support that trip, I want to thank you so much. And then those of you who made contributions to the trip, you're going to be hearing from me soon. I have a little gift that I'm going to give to everyone who actually helped support me in my trip to Ghana. You'll be receiving something in the next couple of weeks. So I'm really excited about that. I think it's something that you'll be blessed by and you'll enjoy as well. And so I want to thank you so much for that. All righty. Well, I just wanted to say that. Also, too, just want to remind you, you know, to visit my website, www.prophetkyle.com. You know, that's where you can request prophetic words and you can, you know, get connected with the ministry. And one of the things I did want to share with you, this is something that came to me in prayer. It wasn't something that I was trying to seek the Lord about, but it was something the Lord began to minister to me about 3 weeks ago, right before I went to Africa. You know, the Lord had told me that he was going to make me a shepherd to the shepherdless, and that he wanted me to, this is what he said. He said, I want you to bring in all the lost sheep. And God says, I'm going to use you as a shepherd to shepherd these lost sheep. And I was like, okay. So, you know, I'm like, okay, you know, how do I do this, Lord? I mean, you're talking about you want me to start pastoring? I really wasn't sure what he meant by that. But he clarified and he said that, you know, the primary ways in which I would shepherd the people would be through my online ministry and through my radio ministry and through blog and Periscope. And he says, I want you to begin to start shepherding the lost sheep. And he began to explain to me that, you know, there's a large population of unchurched people, people who don't attend church for whatever reason, some because they struggle to find a church, some because they've been wounded by the church or whatever. And he said, you know, I want you to shepherd these people and work towards them getting healed, you know, so that they can eventually integrate back into the local church, you know. And so the Lord spoke that to me. And so now I'm working, you know, as I'm being led by him to establish ways in which I can shepherd these people. And so one of the things that is extremely important to all of us in our spiritual walk with the Lord is that we have a spiritual covering. And that basically means that we have someone that watches after our soul. You know, the scripture says in Jeremiah, I think it's in Jeremiah 10, it says that the Lord will give us pastors after our own heart, and that they will watch and keep for our souls, you know. And it's something extremely powerful, you know, when you come under the umbrella of a prophetic anointing, a pastoral anointing, and you have someone who's actually watching for you and praying and keeping you covered in prayer and things of that nature. You know, I know a lot of people have been saying this lately, but it does bear repeating, is that this is not the time of the Lone Ranger. You know, this is not the time for us to be on our own. You know, I have a spiritual cover and a pastor, you know, and I travel around the world, literally, and all of us should have some type of covering and should have some type of, you know, some type of pastoral covering. And that doesn't mean, you know, somebody that's trying to lord over you and trying to boss you around. But you do need, we all need accountability. You know, we all need people that can speak into our lives. And even me, as someone who ministers prophetically, I still have people who speak into my life. You know, scripture says that, you know, there's wisdom in the counsel of the multitude, you know. So those of you also, too, you know, scripture says, you know, bringing in all the tithes into the storehouse, and that when we do that, then the Lord will rebuke the devourers for our sakes, you know. So it's very important. Tithing is very important. You know, some people say tithing was part of the law. Well, no, Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, you know, 2,000 years before the law. Tithing has nothing to do with the law. Tithing is a biblical principle that was established by God, and the purpose for the tithe is to say that we honor the Lord with the, you know, 10% or the first fruits of our increase. And then when we do that, the scripture then says that he will bless us, and that he will open up the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing that we can't even receive at all. You know, so really the whole purpose of the tithe is it's a tool for the maximization of increase of what we have. And then the scripture says that then when we pay that tithe, that then the Lord will rebuke the devourers for our sake. You know, a lot of times when I talk to people and they're having financial problems, first thing I ask them, I say, who is your pastor? Who are you submitted to? And do you tithe? You know, because tithing is extremely, extremely important. You know, and it's the institution that God has set up, you know, whether we like it or not. If people don't want to tithe, that's fine. That's your prerogative, you know, but the scripture does say that when we do tithe, which that's the 10% of our increase, the scripture said that he rebukes the devourer for our sake, you know. And a lot of times, a lot of the problems that we have is just primarily because people don't tithe. And so when they don't tithe, then that opens the door for Satan to get in and to devour our families, devour our finances, devour, you know, our resources and things of that nature. So it's very important that you tithe. So those of you who maybe you don't have a church home, you know, prayerfully consider allowing me to be your prophetic pastoral covering until you do find a local church. And then those of you who do have a local church, you know, I pray that you're tithing to your local ministry, because it's very, 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 very important. You know, sometimes we think, oh, well, I need a prophetic word. And sometimes, you know, the problems that we get into is because we don't follow the biblical principles. A prophetic word is never going to negate us following the word of God. You know, the scripture explains it this way. I think it's in Peter. It says that the Bible is a sure word of prophecy, you know. And so the scripture, the prophetic word is never going to take the place or trump the Bible, you know, the scripture. However, you know, the prophetic word will give us clarity about things, and the prophetic word will speak directly into our own lives. But the prophetic word is not to trump or to supersede the scripture. The scripture says it this way. It says that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall remain forever. And so, and I do believe that that is the rhema, that's the prophetic word God spoke into us. But that's primarily, in that context, is talking about the Logos, which is the Bible. Amen? Amen? So saying all that to say, if you're not tithing, I strongly encourage that you tithe to your local church. And if you do not have a local church and you'd like to have a pastoral prophetic covering over your life, I'd like you to prayerfully consider allowing me to do that. Those people who come under my ministry, through pastoral covering, prophetic covering, and then even those people who receive prophetic counseling, I pray for them daily and keep them lifted in prayer. And it's something about when you're under that covering, it just keeps a whole lot of problems out of your way. You think about it, if it's raining outside and you're walking under a canopy, it doesn't matter if it's raining because you're protected, or if a storm comes and you're under, your bomb shelter, your storm shelter, it doesn't matter that the storm comes because you're protected. And that's what a pastoral covering and a prophetic covering will do, is that it'll protect you from the storms. A lot of times we have so many problems in our life because we're just not covered. And so just want you to pray about that, think about that and consider that as you continue on in your Christian walk with the Lord. All righty. I'm going to ask if you would, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask if you would turn to Philippians 3. Philippians 3, and we're going to start at verse 10. These are some familiar passages. And basically our teaching tonight is how to overcome failure, And I guess I could start out by asking you, have you ever dealt with failure? And I would venture to say that probably most all of you at one time or another, you've had some situations where you've dealt with failure. You've dealt with problems. You've dealt with situations that were not, favorable or did not work out like you wanted them to work out, And so tonight I'm going to be teaching a little bit about that and kind of guiding you through that. Because if we're not careful, a lot of times failure will become our stumbling block. We'll fall into something, or something doesn't work out the way that we thought it would, and then instantly we become dismayed, we become distressed, we become depressed, we begin to start questioning God, doubting God, and all of these different things. But a lot of times we experience failure for one or two different reasons. Either one, it's because we're attempting to engage in something that God never told us to engage in. The first thing is we're engaging in something God never told us to engage in. Or sometimes God causes things to not work out because he's trying to redirect us into a whole new pathway. And I call those divine disappointments. And basically those divine disappointments are those things that happen in our life that basically God shuts down for us. And so sometimes we get down and we get depressed and we get disengaged because we feel as though we failed, or we've even felt as though God has failed us. But actually those are situations where God is actually closing doors in our lives because he's trying to move us on into something else. And so we're going to start from Philippians 3, starting verse 10. And this is really, really, really a powerful text. This was Apostle Paul writing to the church of Philippi. And what's really powerful about this is that, scholars believe that, well, it's actually even documented that Apostle Paul wrote this whole book of Philippians while he was in jail. And that is extremely powerful because, if we want to think about anybody that had any cause or any excuse to be disillusioned, it would be the Apostle Paul. Here was Apostle Paul doing and manifesting the perfect will of the Lord, that that the gospel would be spread into all the Gentile nations. And here's Apostle Paul working towards this. And while he's working towards doing the will and the purpose that God has called him to, he gets apprehended and put in jail. And so here he is now in jail. And most of us, if we would have found ourselves in a situation like that, that after serving God we were put in jail, we would probably be whining and moaning and crying and saying, Lord, why am I in jail when I'm efforting to do the will and the purpose that you called me to do? And yet, here's Apostle Paul. This is the same book where he says, you know, again, in everything I say rejoice. And he's talking about the rejoicing of God and the joy of the Lord. But what a lot of people don't realize is that Apostle Paul wrote these scriptures while he was in jail, you know. And so Apostle Paul definitely had a divine understanding of what his will and purpose was. Now, interestingly, this could have been a season of disappointment and dismay, and yet Apostle Paul was still used by the Lord. And this is, during these times when Apostle Paul was in jail, this is where he wrote the majority of the New Testament. You know, scholars say that Apostle Paul wrote over 2/3 of the New Testament, and much of this was written while Apostle Paul was in jail, which is an amazing thing. And so here we are in Philippians 3, starting verse 10, and this is Apostle Paul talking, and he says, that I may know him. When he's saying him, he's talking about Christ our Lord. He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. So Apostle Paul says, I want to know Christ, and I want to know the power of his resurrection. And, y'all, this is something that's very, very, very important. You know, when we talk about the salvation experience, a lot of times we clearly understand that, okay, when I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior, then my sins are forgiven. Amen. So I receive, you know, baptism into the body of Christ, and my sins have been forgiven, and now I'm eligible to receive eternal life with the Lord. Okay, and that is true. That's very, very important. But not only did Jesus die for the remission of our sins, but he also died that we might receive the power of his resurrection. Amen. I'm going to say that again. Not only did Jesus die for our sins so that our sins could be forgiven, but Jesus also died that we might receive the power of his resurrection. You know, and the scripture says that the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is now residing on the inside of us. You know, and the Greek word for power is dunamis. So God's dunamis, his resurrection, his supernatural, his incarnate resurrection power of the Lord is now residing on the inside of us. So, you know, we talk about power. You have power on the inside of you. The same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is now residing within you. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is now residing within you. You know, we just had we just celebrated Easter, which I really prefer to call Resurrection Sunday. We just celebrated the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and that's one of the things that separates us from all the other religions. If you go to the Islamic religion, you know, their leader, Muhammad, is dead as a doornail. If you go to the Hare Krishnas and you go to the tomb of Hare Krishna, he's dead as a doornail. If you go to the Hindu religion and you go to the tomb of the Dalai Lama, he's the original Dalai Lama is dead as a doornail. But you know, when you go to the tomb of Jesus Christ, he's risen. He's not there anymore. Out of all the modern religions, about all the religions of this world, Christians are the only religion that serves a God that's still living, that he actually conquered death, hell, and the grave. The scripture says that Jesus, he went into the bowels of hell, and he led captivity captive. He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and was resurrected. And the scripture says now he has ascended on high, and he has given gifts unto men. Amen? Meaning that Jesus has now left himself in the form of the fivefold ministry gifts, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, evangelist, the teacher. He has now left those fivefold ascension gifts to us, and he's ascended on high after he led captivity captive. And the scripture says, then he gave gifts unto men. Amen. So So Apostle Paul, when he's saying that I may know him, he says I want to know this Christ who did all these things, and I want to know him intimately. You know, a lot of times we say, oh, well, yeah, I know Jesus. Yeah, well, do you really? Are you acquainted with him, the scripture says, in the fellowship of his sufferings and in the power of his resurrection? That same power, you know, so we as Christians, we should be walking around powerful. We shouldn't be walking around with our heads down like weak, willy-nilly worms in the dust of the earth. We've been given the power of Jesus Christ. The same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is now residing within us. So Apostle Paul says that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, be made conformable unto his death. Amen. So just as Jesus died physically, Apostle Paul is saying we should die to things naturally of the flesh, you know. And then he says, if in verse 11, he says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. So basically what he's saying is, if I may understand this, that I may obtain the same rewards, the same blessings as those who were resurrected from the dead. Now, I think right there he's referring to after Christ Jesus died, and he spent those 3 days, you know, in the bowels of hell. The scripture says that those people who had believed on Christ, but Christ had not come yet, but they believed on Christ, that those people then basically walked the earth. You know, we see these movies now, or these TV shows like The Walking Dead or Zombies or whatever. Well, that's kind of what these people are like. So that means during that time, you know, all of the old saints, basically the patron saints who had believed on Christ, and the scripture says that it was accounted unto them as righteousness. You know, whether that was David or Moses or all these people, but Jesus had not been ascended yet, so therefore they could not ascend unto heaven because Jesus had to first die first. So it says that they were basically resurrected. They were basically resurrected from the dead, and when Jesus ascended, they ascended with him. Amen? Amen. It's really powerful. And it says, and then verse 12, it said, not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect. So Apostle Paul is basically saying, okay, this is a work in progress. I haven't yet arrived to this of perfection, but I'm working towards it. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. You know, so Apostle Paul was saying, hey, you know, I haven't apprehended this yet, but, you know, my heart's desire is that I will apprehend, you know, that in the understanding of Christ Jesus and in the power of his resurrection. And then he goes on in verse 13, and he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things are which are behind, and reaching forth into those things which are before. Okay, and that's what I want to get to is this. If you're ever going to move forward in God, if you suffered a failure, if you suffered a setback, if you suffered times where things have not worked out like you expected them to, Apostle Paul gives us a key right here. He says, okay, I realize, when he says, I count myself to not have apprehended, but this one thing I do, basically what Apostle Paul was saying was this, listen, I realize that I'm imperfect, and I realize that I have not arrived, and that you know, God still has awesome things to do in my life. Now, you know, that's amazing that Apostle Paul can have this intellect and understanding. When Apostle Paul has gone forth with the disciples, he's raised folks from the dead, he's had miraculous healings, he's gone through these different areas and, you know, did territorial spiritual warfare and realigned the spiritual realm and through the confessed word of the Lord has caused different regions to experience revival. And he's had all these supernatural powerful manifestations of things and done all of these supernatural things. And then the scripture goes on to say in Corinthians, you know, that he was took up into the third heaven and saw saw Christ Jesus and heard words that could not be uttered. So he's had all of these supernatural, spiritual experiences. And yet Apostle Paul can still say, hey, listen, I know that I have not arrived. Now, that is some humility. You take any preacher today that's had a quarter of the experiences that Apostle Paul had, and, you know, they would be, setting up, they would be building buildings. The first assembly of the Apostle Paul supernatural church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints or whatever, they would build some type of monument and probably would be on social media and Facebook and everything talking about, look at all these miracles that are going on here in Philippi and the church of Corinth, and et cetera, et cetera. And yet here's Apostle Paul. He's experienced all these supernatural experiences, probably more than most of us ever will, and yet he still says, hey, listen, guys, I realize that I have not arrived, that I've still got a long way to go. But then he says, I'm going to forget those things which are behind and reach forth into those things which are before. Now, a lot of times we think, well, when you say, I'm going to forget those things which are behind, we always assume those to be the things that are bad. But, you know, a lot of times God will want us to move past even the good things, because when God's timing or his anointing lifts from a particular assignment, you know, his desire is that he can bring us into another situation. And, you know, I see that in two ways. A lot of times, the blessing of God fails to continue because people, they experience a blessing from God, and then once they experience that blessing, they just kind of camp there and just stay there, never moving past to the next thing that God has, you know, because, you know, there's good, there's better, and there's best, you know. God allows us to experience the good so he can take us to the better and then to the best, you know, good, better, best. Never let it rest till your good is your better and your better is your best. That's a saying that my pastor in Los Angeles, Pastor Bam, used to always say. Good, better, best, never let it rest till your good is your better and your better is your best. So Apostle Paul says, hey, you know, I'm going to forget those things that are behind, whether they're good or bad, so that I can reach forth into those things which are before. And then he says in 14, he says, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And this is what I want to say, just laying a foundation. Obviously, it doesn't look like we're going to finish. I'm not going to finish my teaching tonight. And I've got a long passage that I want to talk about Elijah and how he suffered defeat and failure. But the point I want to make to you is this, is that all of us will experience failure. All of us will experience disappointments. All of us are going to experience times in our life when things are not working out the way that we thought they would. And Apostle Paul says this is how you handle it. You press forward, or you press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. So no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're experiencing, at the end of the day, our primary call, our primary prize is to pursue the high calling of Christ Jesus. So that's what we're to pursue above everything else. I pursue the high calling of Christ Jesus above my marriage. I pursue the high calling of Christ Jesus above my job. I press towards the mark of the calling of Christ Jesus above, you know, my friends, my family, my house, whatever it is. You know, and a lot of times, guys, we have to remember that we have to make the main thing the main thing. Because at the end of the day, in my endeavor to follow Christ, my main desire is to follow his will and to press towards the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. So regardless of what happens, you know, my dog dies, the cat is pregnant, you know, I lose my job, my house goes into foreclosure, my car gets repossessed, my wife goes off and leaves me, my kid gets strung out on drugs, you name it. At the end of the day, our main goal before all of those things, is to press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Our main goal above everything is that we press towards the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And God has a high calling for all of us. God has a high calling for all of us. Now, a lot of times what happens, we suffer a defeat, we suffer a bad situation, we suffer problems, and what we do is we get down, you know, we get depressed, and then we go into the whole thing of why is this happening to me, and why did God allow this to happen, and this and that, and something else. And we get all down on ourselves to the point to where we fail to press towards the greater purpose. Because no matter what it is that you've experienced and no matter what bad situations have happened in your life, God still has something better for you. And he's saying, if you'll just hang on to me and press on forward to the purpose and the calling that I have for you, I will work all this other stuff out. You know, I think about Job and how Job lost his whole family. And then his wife came to him and said, curse God and die. And then the scripture says, you know, now Job went through some stuff. He fussed and whined and complained to God. But then at the end of the day, the scripture says that Job quit whining, he quit complaining, and he began to pray for his friends. And he said he forgave his friends, and then he prayed for his friends. And then it says after Joseph prayed and forgave his friends, that then God came and restored him and gave him double what he had before. And so what does that say? That says that at the end of the day, Job took his mind off of himself, prayed for somebody else, and then the scripture says that then God began to move on his behalf and blessed him. Amen? Amen. And so life will offer its setbacks. Life will offer you lemons, and you know, like the old saying says, you got to take the lemons and make lemonade out of it. But you know, we got to just continue to press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. You know, I think recently I have a good friend, and this is a good example of pressing forward to the high calling in Christ Jesus. I had a friend, and she had the storybook marriage. You know, she had a good job. She, you know, the guy that she had married had a good job. They had met while she was in college. You know, they were married and what seemed to be happily married for, you know, for several years. And then, you know, all of a sudden her husband began to start demonstrating weird behaviors. He was staying out all night, you know. She was going into the bank account and all the money was being spent up. And, all kinds of crazy things began to happen. And so then finally the husband came and says, I want a divorce. And she was devastated. You know, she went through an investigation and then found out that he had another account and he had gotten him an apartment downtown and he was spending money there. And he had found this. Now, this is a real story, y'all. He had found this prostitute, and he started seeing her, and he was trying to impress and floss her. She was like a, I guess you'd call a high-class call girl or whatever. And so he was trying to impress her. And so anyway, the marriage totally disintegrated, and she was totally depressed about it. But then finally she began to realize, she said, wait a minute, you know, I have a lot to offer. You know, I'm still a young woman. I can still do things. And then she also began to recognize, hey, I have a calling in Christ. You know, no matter how bad this is, God has an eternal destiny. He has a purpose and a plan for me. So the first problem she began to experience was with her house. She was like, okay, Lord, how am I going to do this? I really would like to keep the house. The husband had quit paying, you know, had quit paying on it or whatever, and of course everything was tied up in litigation. So she, you know, either she was gonna have to pretty much just, you know, sell the house and get rid of it, or basically be swamped in a whole bunch of debt. And so she just said, okay, I'm gonna trust God and I'm not gonna worry about it. And she just gave it to the Lord. Well, she did that. The next day, her boss calls her in and says, you know, you've been doing such a great job. You know, we're just going to give you a bonus. And I'm not telling you that this is on the way. I'm not telling you that this raise is going to happen because, you know, somewhere down the line. But I'm letting you know that the paperwork has already been processed and you should see it on your next check. And so the boss gives her a $10,000 raise. So you see, even in the midst of how the enemy was trying to destroy things, instead of her sitting there getting depressed about it and wallowing in sin, she just continually praised and pressed towards the high calling of Christ Jesus. And so God began to work that situation out to where she received a $10,000 raise, which was able to help her supplement the difference, you know, that her husband was no longer paying. Okay, so then the next thing was she had this issue with her car, and her car, the truck that she had it was a there was a particular factory recall on it, and but the part that she needed for her car, you know, it was like several thousands of dollars. And so she didn't know how she was going to be able to get it paid. And it turns out that particular, you know, part, it was no longer under warranty. And so she had taken it to the dealership, and she was like, oh, Lord, how am I going to pay for it? She was trying to figure out all different types of ways where she could take out a loan, borrow money from her father, this and that and something else. And she just said, you know what, I'm going to give this to God. I'm just going to trust God. And she just, you know, said in her heart, you know, she was just going to continue to press through and do what God told her to do, you know, and just stand on the word of God. And lo and behold, the mechanic called her back and said, you know, this part is really not supposed to be under warranty, but we're going to go ahead and process the paperwork as a warranty. So instead of you having to pay $4,000 for this part, it's only going to cost you $200. So she kept pressing towards the calling of Christ Jesus. And y'all, I say all this to say is that, you know, life will hand us some crazy things. Life will hand us, you know, some bad situations. But the thing is, just like Apostle Paul says, now this is a man that was in prison. And he says, you know, I realize I have not apprehended everything. I realize that I have not arrived to the place and the position that I know that I need to be. However, I will say this, you know, I'm going to count all that other stuff behind me, and I'm going to reach forth to those things which are coming before me. So in other words, what Apostle Paul was saying is, I'm not going to dwell and spend all my attention on what happened and what could have been and what I missed, but I'm going to look forward into pressing into that which is the best thing. And I want to say that to those of you who are listening tonight. God has always got something better ahead of you. So yeah, I know you may have suffered many things in your past, but the Lord is saying, you know, press forward. Don't look behind. Don't look behind. Oh, this is what I used to have, and I used to have this. Listen, let me tell y'all something. I was, you know, working for a nonprofit organization. And when I came into this organization and I was working in, it was a mess. We served children, and out of the 3,000 to 4,000 children that we serviced, we only had maybe about 700 to 800 of them that were properly documented, and yet we were receiving funding from I'll just say a corporate funder, and over 2/3 of the children that we serviced were not even documented. Okay. And it was a big problem. And so I came in and I would work from 9 in the morning to 9 in the evening, getting us caught up. I went through and established, you know, because I basically inherited a big mess. And I went and established some new processes whereby which we could document the children. Then I streamlined our efficiency on how we contacted with sponsors. You know, and created an online system for tracking, whereas before we were using antiquated letters and mailing and stuff. And I, you know, created a system where we could electronically, you know, correspond with our donors and things of this nature. I put in new processes in place, hired another, you know, person to help keep record with things. And we established new systems and did all of these things. When I came in, you know, financially, we were not in a good place. You know, within 2 years, I had secured one grant for $2 million and another grant for $200,000. So we were almost we were almost I would say between 2.5 and 3 million ahead, you know, whereas when I came in, we were financially in the hole. So we went from being in the red to being in the black, and I came in and I fixed all these things. And so one day, my vice chancellor, he calls me in and he says, "Hey, Kyle, you know, I just got a call from corporate, and they say they want to go in a new direction. They want to go in a different direction." And I'm like, "Are you kidding? I mean, I said, no, I know I didn't hear you correctly. Say that again." And so he says that they want to go into a new direction. So basically, I was asked to resign after I fixed everything. And so they put this lady in, you know, in charge, who basically was someone who was in the same, she was in the same college that I was in, and her area had ran out of money, and that vice chancellor had loyalties to her because he had worked with her longer. And so basically I was asked to resign so that he could secure and keep a job for this other lady. But in the meantime, I was devastated. You know, I had went in and fixed everything, and then after I fixed everything, they asked me to leave. And it could have been something that could have been a humiliating experience, you know. And a lot of people don't recover from situations like this. So here I am, I'm making, you know, almost six figures. Literally, I was making almost $90,000, and you know, with benefits and stuff, I was making six figures. And you know, and I fixed everything, and then they call me in and say, "Hey, we want to go in a different direction." So I had to readjust, and I went from a job that paid, you know, $90,000 to a job that paid $50,000. I literally lost $30,000 off of my salary, you know. But what did I do? I didn't sit there and say, "Oh God, why is this happening to me? You know, this is not fair." And I felt like that, you know, and I had even considered suing. You know, my brother is a judge, and I asked him about it. I said, "Well, Brian," I said, "you know, that's my brother." I said, "I want to sue." And, you know, because this was not right. And my brother said something really interesting to me. You know, if we're careful, the Lord will speak to us through people. And he spoke to me just so clearly. He said, "Kyle," he said, "you know, you're right, and you have a case. And if you sue, you'll probably win. You would probably win." He said, "But do you really want to be known as that guy that sued his former employer?" He just made it so clear to me. He was just like, "Do you really want to be that guy that sued his former employee?" I said, no. I thought about it, and I said, no. And so I had to relinquish it. I had to leave it to God. I had to relinquish that. You know, although I had been treated unfairly, I had to give that to the Lord and just give it back to him. But you know, Apostle Paul, that scripture came to me and said, "I press towards the mark for the prize of the calling of Christ Jesus." So you're going to have some ups and downs in your life. You're going to have some situations where things don't work out, but it will all work out in the end. So in the midst of that, because I didn't have a job, which was very time consuming and took up a lot of my time and left very little leisure time, I began to come up with some ideas, some creative ideas, and one of them was I had this idea to use drama because, you know, I have a background in theater and entertainment. And so I had come up with this idea to incorporate drama into schools and to use drama to teach literacy skills. And so I put this program together, and in the meantime, a grant came open from the city where I was living in, and so and they were looking for proposals. And so I submitted this proposal to the city and wound up getting a $100,000 contract with the city to incorporate theater programs within after-school programs. So within a year, the Lord totally allowed me to bounce back from my situation. And I say that to say is a lot of times situations don't work out like we think they should, or situations don't work out like we expect that they should. But the thing is this, always just press forward and keep your mark on the calling of Christ Jesus, because you can believe this. If one door closes, that means God is going to open up another door. If one door shuts in your face, that just means that God is going to open up another door somewhere else. So don't get down and depressed and you experience all of these different things, but just remember that God's always got something better. There's always a bigger door. There's always something better. And although you may suffer defeat now, just remember at the end, if you press toward the mark of Christ Jesus, God, the scripture says that God will even make your enemies your footstool, and he'll cause your enemies to be at peace with you. Amen. So I sense that there are some people who are listening now, and I want to share this with you. I don't think that I would have been able to get that contract and bounce back if I would have been in unforgiveness. If I would have been still harboring bitterness against my vice chancellor, and mad at everybody at the university, I don't think that I would be where I am now. Now, let me tell you something that's really interesting about all this. Although I was released from the university, or I was asked to resign in that particular job, 6 months later, one of the departments called me and asked me if I would come teach a class. So the same university that asked me to resign came back and employed me as an adjunct professor. And I'm still employed there. God is good. God is good. But God totally took that situation, and I think a lot of it is all in our attitude. You know, if I would have still remained bitter and in unforgiveness and mad and angry about how things worked out, I don't think I would have been able to press forward. But because I kept my heart pure, and I stayed in a place of repentance and a place of forgiveness, you know, God was able to move on my behalf. And it allowed me to turn that tragedy into a triumph. Amen. And I sense a sense like if several people you're listening tonight, and you say, you know, Prophet Kyle, I had a bad situation. Somebody didn't treat me right. My husband, my wife, my employer, my job, they didn't treat me right, and I was done wrong. You know, and it wasn't right. And you know, the Lord is just saying, you know, you need to forgive those people. You need to release them. You need to release them. You need to release them, and you need to let them go. You know, I said this once before on a teaching. You know, Patti LaBelle, she wrote a biography. In the biography, she talked about how one of her family members raped her and molested her, and she chose to forgive this family member. Now, let me explain this. Forgiveness is an act of our will. Forgiveness is not saying, I agree with what you did. But what forgiveness says is I release you and I release myself from the responsibility of what you've done. See, forgiveness is an act of faith. It's not an emotional experience. We think, oh, when I forgive somebody, I'm going to feel good and everything. But no, forgiveness is an act of faith. And basically what it says is I relinquish all of my responsibilities towards the sin that you committed against me. And I put it in the hands of God for the Lord to deal with. And so that's what she did. And she, in the name of her book, Patti LaBelle's book, was called Don't Block the Blessings. And the whole concept of the whole book was, you know, from her family member, I think it was an uncle, molesting her, to all the different things that were done from people that tried to stomp on her and tried to block her and tried to prevent her from moving forward in the purpose that God had for her, she always chose to forgive, because she recognized, as the scripture says, that, you know, if the scripture said this way, that when we don't forgive, then God delivers us to the tormentors. And so a lot of times we think we're getting back at that person because, oh, you know, Brother Kyle, that person did this to me and they did that to me. You don't understand. I'll never forgive them for that. But when you harbor that unforgiveness, what it does is it prevents you from receiving the blessing that God has for you. And I just sense that there's people, you listen to this teaching, I feel the anointing now. I know that this message is resonating with people, and you're thinking now about these different people who have mistreated you. But, you know, Apostle Paul says that you've got to press forward to the mark of the calling in Christ Jesus. And as long as you're harboring that unforgiveness towards that person, you're never going to be able to move forward in what God has for you. As long as you're harboring, I'm mad at that person, and Brother Kyle, you don't know what that person did, and she mistreated me, and he mistreated me, and he went off and left me, and he cheated on me, and she did this and that and something else, and he stole from me, and they fired me, and they treated me wrong. Okay, fine, okay, so we recognize that. But the scripture's saying now you've got to move forward, and you've got to forgive that person. And the Lord says that when you release that person, when you release that person, then God is going to allow you to experience the blessings, and he's going to allow you to experience the increase. Many of you right now, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Many of you now, the Lord is telling me that it's miracles and it's blessings that God has for you. And it's all tied up because you're still harboring unforgiveness against somebody. You're still harboring unforgiveness against that person that mistreated you. And then you pray and you pray and you give and you tithe. And then you wonder still why financially I'm not blessed. And God is saying it's because you're harboring unforgiveness. God said you've got to let that thing go. You got to let that thing go. Remember, forgiveness is not an emotional experience. It's faith. We forgive by faith, and forgiveness is not saying that I agree with or I condone or that I agree with what that person did, but forgiveness literally is saying is I relinquish that person from the responsibility of what they did. I'm relinquishing them from the offense. Amen. And I just feel like it's people tonight. So if you have anybody that you feel like you need to forgive, you need to let go, I want to lead you in a prayer because God really wants to bring you into blessings. You know, and so many times it's the offenses, these little offenses that keep us from receiving from the Lord. And so I want you to pray this prayer after me. And I just feel like the Lord is going to bless and he's going to break off some of this stuff because God's saying it's a lot of you who are not receiving from God because you're not walking in forgiveness. So if you want to receive everything God has for you and you know that you have some unforgiveness or you have not let some people go, I just want you to pray this prayer after me, okay? Okay, we're going to be led in prayer and God's going to get you set free, all right? Repeat this after me. Just say, Heavenly Father, I thank you that Jesus was made a curse, that I could be redeemed from the curse. And Lord, you said that when I stand praying, if I do not forgive those who have trespassed against me, that I will not receive everything that you have for me. So Lord, I forgive everyone who has offended me in word and deed. I forgive those people who mistreated me, who wronged me, who lied on me, who tried to hinder the plan and purpose that you have for me. And so, Lord, I forgive them. And so, Lord, I ask that you would fill my soul with your blood. And, Lord, I apply the blood of Jesus to every wound in my soul that was caused as a result of my unforgiveness. Fill every wound in my soul with your blood. And Lord, I now apply the glory light of Jesus Christ to every one of those wounds. I apply the resurrection power, the dunamis power of Jesus Christ. Every single one of those wounds that were caused by unforgiveness. And I receive your divine manifestation of healing now In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let me pray for you now. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for everyone that's prayed, and I thank you, Lord, that now that they have put themselves in a position of forgiveness, Father, I ask that you just release every blessing that's in store for them, that you allow them to recover even the years the locust, the cankerworm, the palmerworm, the caterpillar have stolen in their lives. And I speak and decree divine restoration for everyone that's prayed that prayer. And, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that even now, Lord, I can tell that your ministering angels are going forth and ministering on their behalf. And I praise you and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And so the Lord is just saying right now that he's removing many of the shackles from off of people, that he's removing the bondages from off of you. And the Lord says, I'm breaking open doors that have been shut to you because of the unforgiveness. And the Lord says, I'm releasing you from the poverty, and I'm bringing you into my grace, into my prosperity. And the Lord says, I'm bringing you into increase, for the Lord says, I'm favoring you. And even as my word, it says, yea, this is a set time to favor. God says, I'm favoring you even now. And God says, you will experience a new level of supernatural favor, a new level of prosperity, a new level of increase, a new level of the manifestation of the Spirit, because the Lord says, I'm moving greatly in your behalf. And the Lord says that my word is made true, and my word will be made true in your life. And the Lord says that there's many of you who are listening, and you will see a dramatic change. Even starting tomorrow, God says you're going to receive some news that's going to bring you into a new manifestation of grace. And the Lord says, as many of you who have been struggling with poverty, and the Lord says that now that you've spoken in forgiveness, God says, I'm going to release the manifestation of prosperity. And the Lord says that you're going to walk in a supernatural increase of abundance, because the Lord says, I'm a God that I lie not, and I'm not the son of man that I repent of my word, and I would do exactly what I said I would do according to my word, says the Spirit of the living God. Amen and amen. Amen, amen. Well, I taught a little bit longer than I expected to tonight, so we'll pick up next week. If you need to contact me, or if you'd like to receive a prophetic word or prophetic counsel, you can go to my website, www.prophetkyle.com, and I'll be back next week. And kind of talk a little bit longer tonight. Next week I'll try to get into everything and administer some live prophetic prophecy. I love you guys so much, and have a great evening. Bye-bye.